Let's turn in the Word of God this morning to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 is a chapter that we read in connection with Lord's Day 39 on the fifth commandment of the law of God. And you'll see why in the opening words of Ephesians 6 we read this. It's the word to children to obey their parents. We'll read the entire chapter this morning. This is the holy, the inspired, the infallible Word of God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord, and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Let's read together Lord's Day 39 of the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 104. Lord's Day 39. What doth God require in the fifth commandment? And the fifth commandment is, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And the answer is this, that I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, at the beginning of every single sermon, those are the words that you hear come out of my lips. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ. Addressing the entire congregation, as we are about to hear the word of God to us at that particular time. What I'd like to do at the beginning of this sermon is add one word of emphasis to that address. Beloved children in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of you this morning who are children sitting in church must listen very carefully to the Word of God as it is preached today, because the Word of God this morning is on the fifth commandment of God's law. Now you know as children that you are to listen to every single sermon when you come to church to the best of your ability. But in a special way, you need to listen carefully to this sermon, because this sermon is addressed especially to you. You who are children and you who are called by God to honor and then to obey your mom and your dad. And so, yes, at the beginning of this sermon, I say, beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, but I want to emphasize, beloved children in the Lord Jesus Christ. When I use that word children, I'm not just referring to the young children who are here, but I'm speaking also, and God is speaking also, therefore, to you who are teenagers, high schoolers, the youth of the congregation as well. To you as well, and to you especially, this word of God comes this morning. The word of God to honor your father and your mother. But then at times throughout the sermon, we'll broaden the application and see that this applies to all of us as we are called to honor those who are in positions of authority. Let's consider the fifth commandment this morning. Commanded to honor father and mother. Let's see the 2 points, the God-given authority, and then in the second place, the calling to honor those in authority. Commanded to honor father and mother, the God-given authority, and the calling to honor those in authority. At the beginning of the sermon, I want to explain what we know well, but I want to explain this for the children and young people, right at the beginning, so that this is the foreground of our minds throughout this sermon. And that is the reason that you will hear the Word of God this morning, and you will want to obey the Word of God when you go home and live with your mom and dad in your homes. And the reason that is the case is out of your love for God, and out of your thankfulness to God. That needs to be right in the front of your minds as you hear this word, that I must honor my mom and my dad, and I want to honor my mom and my dad because I love God, and because I am thankful to God for Jesus Christ. Now let's see that from 2 ways at the beginning of the sermon. In the first place, let's see that from the relationship between the first table of the law and the second table of the law. The sermon this morning is on the fifth commandment, which is the first commandment of the second table of God's law. The second table of God's law, commandments 5 through 10, deal especially with your relationship to your neighbor. And that, in contrast to the first table of the law, Commandments 1 through 4, which deal with particularly your relationship to God. And that's what we finished treating in the last Lord's Day. But this is the relationship between those two. The way in which you show love for God is by showing love for your neighbor. Obedience to all of the second table of the law, everything that we're going to treat today and in the coming sermons, is the way in which we show love for God. To love your neighbor as God calls us is to love God Himself as He commands us to do so in His Word. And so children and young people, you will love your mom and dad by honoring them and obeying them, and you will do that, and in doing that, you will be showing your love for God. That's the first way in which we can see this at the introduction of the sermon. The second way is to be reminded of the introduction to the law as a whole. The opening words of the law are, "I am the Lord thy God who delivered thee out of the bondage of Egypt." And what we know from that introduction is that it leads us to see God's saving and redeeming work in Jesus Christ. God says to us at the beginning of the law, "I redeemed you. I saved you." Speaking in terms of from Egypt being brought to Canaan, but we know that that was done on the basis of the blood of the Lamb pointing to Jesus Christ, so that God is saying in that introduction, "I redeemed you. I saved you by the blood of my Son. And because I did that, now you are called to live this way. You are called to live this way out of love for me and out of thanks to me for that great redemption." Now here's the important point for you as children and for you as youth. You are those who are included among them whom God has redeemed. When God says at the beginning of the law, "I delivered you out of Egypt and brought you on the basis of that blood into the land of Canaan," included in the "you" are those whom he addresses in the fifth commandment to honor father and mother. So that included in those who are redeemed by God are the children and the youth who were in Israel according to the decree of election. And therefore, the children and the youth in the Church of Jesus Christ today. And that's exactly the same perspective of the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians. He comes to chapter 6 and he addresses at the beginning of chapter 6 the children in the Church of Ephesus. And those children who are in the Church of Ephesus are included, therefore, in the address to the church of Ephesus in chapter 1, verse 1. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus." Those who were part of the saints and faithful were those that he would then address in chapter 6. The children, the youth, who therefore had this calling to obey and to honor their father and their mother. All of this is to say for you as children and youth, you must know who God is to you. You must know who He is to you in Jesus Christ. That you as children and you as youth are sinners who deserve nothing from God. But God, in the blood of Jesus on the cross, has saved you, redeemed you, given you the hope of heaven, the heaven that the old saint of our congregation, Nettie DeVries, has right now is for you as children and you as youth. You have to know that. And knowing that, say, I need to be thankful to God for what He has done for me. And now here's the point of the sermon. This is the way that you're thankful. You hear this word about your parents and you say, I want to, and I'm going to strive to honor and obey my parents in all things lawful. You need to do that because your parents are those who are in authority over you. And that's what we're going to explain now in the remainder of the first point of the sermon. That parents, as well as others, as we'll talk about, are in positions of authority. The fifth commandment has everything to do with authority. And notice the word that I'm using there, authority. It's not power, but first of all, authority. What authority is the right to be over somebody, the right to rule over someone else, the right to demand of those under your authority obedience, and the right, therefore, when there is not obedience, to discipline or to chastise. Everything in the fifth commandment comes down to authority, and authority is the right given by God to rule over others. That's what's important when it comes to the fifth commandment. It's not ability and it's not power. And what I mean by that is that, take for example somebody in the state or in the nation. He may be the most strong person, or he may be the most intellectually gifted person, or he may have the best acumen for leading people. But all of those things do not give that man the ability to say, I'm over you. I rule over you. I may be the strongest, I may be the smartest, I may have the best ability to govern, but having all of those abilities and all of that power means nothing unless you have the right to do that. Because that's what authority is. You have the right to be over and thus to rule those under you. And the fifth commandment teaches us that there are those who have that right, that authority to do that in this earthly life. Parents have authority. And that authority is a God-given authority. What we are led to see in the fifth commandment is that all authority resides in God. And the reason for that is very simple, beloved. It's because God is God. The reason for that is revealed in the opening words of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The reason for that is, having created all things, God sustains and preserves everything that He made. And He created all men. All authority, by virtue of the fact that God is God, resides in God especially. And that authority that is found in God is invested in His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son of God, who came to this earth, truly God and fully man. And Jesus Christ, having walked the path that led to Calvary, having done the will of God in the redemption of His people, and having arose from the dead and ascended into heaven, we read, sat at God's right hand. This was already made clear in Psalm 110 in the Old Testament. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Prophetic of Jesus Christ, who would sit at the right hand of God. So that Jesus, when he was about to ascend into heaven, said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth," in Matthew chapter 28. And it's unfortunate that in Matthew 28, the word there is power in our KJV, because the word power is not the most accurate word. It's really authority. It's the point that we're talking about right now. Jesus says, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And then he ascended. And that's where he is at right now, at God's right hand. So that what we say is that all authority resides in God. And God invests that authority to Jesus Christ, who sits at his right hand, ruling over the entire creation that God has made and that he upholds. And understand that Jesus was given that authority having accomplished God's work of redemption. The book of Philippians draws that connection very clearly. When we read in Philippians chapter 2 that Jesus Christ made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, having done that, now as the reward of having done that, God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Having accomplished the work of redemption, Jesus ascended into heaven, and to him by God was given all authority as he sits at his right hand. And Christ, therefore, having that authority, invests his authority in certain persons here on this earth. So that from Christ, parents receive the authority to rule over their children. From Christ, elders receive the authority to rule in the congregation. From Christ, employers receive the authority to rule over their employees. From Christ, those who are in positions of government locally, in the state and federally, receive their authority to rule over the citizens of the state and the country. It's fundamentally wrong to say that their authority comes from those who elect them. That's not biblical. This is biblical. The authority comes from Christ, and that's why we honor and in all things lawful obey those in positions of authority. So that this is the conclusion to the first point of the sermon. The conclusion is that to honor those in authority here on this earth is to honor Jesus Christ, who gives them that authority. That's the conclusion that needs to be clear in every one of our minds this morning, and clear in your minds as children and as youth. God, through Christ, has given your mom and dad authority so that when you honor them and obey them in all things lawful, what you are doing is honoring by that Jesus Christ, who is your Lord and who is your Savior. And when you honor elders in the church as those who have been given this authority by Christ, you are honoring Christ himself. And when you go to work on Monday and you honor your employer who has that authority from Christ, you are honoring Christ himself. And when we honor those who are in positions of government authority locally, in the state, and in the nation, we are honoring Christ. And the opposite is true as well, and that's the seriousness of sins against the fifth commandment. Dishonor mom and dad, dishonor Christ. Dishonor elders, dishonor Christ. Dishonor your employer when you go to work tomorrow, dishonor Christ. And dishonor those who are in positions of government authority, you dishonor Jesus Christ. Let that sink in this morning, beloved, as to the seriousness of honoring those who are in authority. It has everything to do with the beginning of the first point. This is my love for God because of what He has done for me. And this has everything to do, the end of the first point, with my honoring and my submitting to Jesus Christ Himself. And that is why in all of the instruction regarding the fifth commandment in the scriptures, it's always unto the Lord. That's why we're doing these things. Unto the Lord, for Christ's sake, I honor and in all things lawful obey those in authority. So that leads us now to consider what that means. And the calling to honor those who are in authority. And here we understand very quickly that this commandment in God's law is thoroughly under attack today in the world by undermining the family, which has taken place very much in this late date in history. We are undermining the authority of father and mother, and we see that all around us at play in the society in which we live. We see that in the church. We see that certainly in the state and in the country with the view of those who are in positions of authority over us. This commandment is under attack by the devil in the world today. And that's why we need this word. That's why we need to understand it very clearly. That's why we need to pray to God for the grace to obey it. And not to be sucked into the worldview and mindset that is all around us that says that we can dishonor, that we can be completely ungodly, and that we can disobey those who are in positions of authority. This is God's word, His clear word about the fifth commandment. Now, what does it mean then to honor those who are in authority? And now I come back to you children and to you youth and speak to you in particular at this point in the sermon. Notice, children and youth, that the word is honor. That's the word that is used in the fifth commandment. It's the first word that's used in the answer to question 104, that I shall all honor, and then love, and then fidelity to those who are in positions of authority. And see, therefore, children and youth, that the word, first of all, is not obey. We're going to talk about obeying. The Catechism talks about obeying when it says, submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience. We're going to talk about obedience. But the first thing that we talk about is honoring. The reason for that is when we talk about honoring those who are in authority, that's something that has to do with your heart. That's something that has to do with the way that you think. And right with that, how we have our hearts and what we think reflects itself often in the way that we speak. For you as children and youth to honor your father and mother and to show respect to them as your father and mother means that in your heart and in your mind you say, I am under their authority. I know that. And I willingly am under their authority. Yes. Young people, that's the way that you must think about your mom and dad. I am under them. I know it. And I willingly am under them and know that they therefore are over me. They are over me, they rule over me, and they have the right to tell me what to do, what not to do, and if I disobey, to chastise and to discipline. I know all of that to be true, and I accept that willfully and joyfully, and respect them as those who are over you as parents. That's the way that you need to think, children, and that's the way that you need to think, teenagers, about mom and dad. Why? Not because a man says it to you, but because God says it to you. And why will you care what God says to you? Because of the very first part of the sermon. He redeemed you from sin and death and the grave through Jesus Christ. Which is what will lead you to say, I will honor them. I will honor them in my heart. I will acknowledge willingly and joyfully, God has put them over me as my parents, and I respect them in that position of authority that they are in over me. I am not in authority in this home. That's what it means to honor too. Because to usurp that honor, to try to take that honor over or authority over, is to say, I'm in authority. I can do what I want to do. And that's not the word of God to you this morning. God's word is clear. Honor father and mother. And with that honor comes showing love and fidelity, submission and obedience. And we can focus on that last word, obedience. The fifth commandment has to do with obedience. Of course it does, children and youth. But the reason that we started with honoring is because everything flows from the heart. And here even we recognize that it's very easy to obey outwardly, but not really to honor in your heart. That's why it's so important to talk about honoring in your heart. It's very easy to obey, but not to honor. And there's all kinds of examples that show that. And the clearest example is when you go do what mom and dad says, but the way in which you do it shows that you are so upset and so bitter and so angry that you have to do what mom and dad say. Go take care of your room and clean it. And you march off and stomp off with an angry look on your face. You do it. Sure, you do it. The room gets cleaned. But there's no honor of mom and dad when you obey in that way. So it's very easy to obey outwardly. I'm going to come home at 11 or 10:59 because my curfew is 11, but I'm going to come storming through the door. I'm home. I'm home because you told me I had to be home, but I'm not happy about it. And I'm going to make you know that I'm not happy about it. Is that honoring mom and dad? No. So it's very easy to obey but not to honor. And the fifth commandment says, start with the heart, honor them. And with a heart that honors them will come an obedience that is a willful and joyful obedience. Because that's the way in which we obey Christ. Storming off to do what he says just because he says we have to do it and we don't want to do it? No. But we do it out of love, out of thanks, willingly and joyfully in the service of him as Lord. So too, in your relationship with mom and dad. I want to make five more points, briefly, to lay out some more things about what it means to honor and obey your mom and your dad. Number one, let's start with that, mom and dad. Notice that, children, And youth, the commandment is not just honor your father, but it's honor your mother and your father, who both have the same authority from God as it relates to you as children and youth in home. So let it not be the case, oh, I can have the back and forth with mom. Don't need to always listen to her right away. Can challenge her when she tells me that something needs to be done. But when dad says it, then the attitude is different. May it not be the case, children and youth, that that's the way that you think. Honor father, yes. Honor mother as well. Number two, what I just alluded to a moment ago in that point, that the way in which you honor and obey is to listen immediately to what your mother and your father tell you. It's always a sign of genuine obedience from the heart, that the way in which you're living with your mom and dad is with this default, that I listen to them. Why? Because of everything we've said so far in the sermon, so that when mom says, it's time to go to bed, go to the bathroom, get ready for bed, put your pajamas on, the time has come. It's not a response of disagreement. No, why do we have to go to bed? And then mom has to say it again. No, it's time to go to bed. With another response, and then she has to say it again, and by the third time, you're off to the bathroom and you're to the bedroom to put your pajamas on and go to bed. That's not obedience to the fifth commandment, children. You know what obedience is. Mom says, now's the time. You listen. We listen right away. Number three, your obedience and honoring of your mom and dad is not dependent upon, and here especially to you, youth, is not dependent upon you agreeing with what they tell you, you must do or not do. God does not say in the fifth commandment to you, honor your mom and dad, and obey your mom and dad only when you agree with their rule over you. But if you disagree with it, if you think it's not the right thing to do, if you think it's unreasonable, then you can not honor them, and by your words speak evil of them, and not obey them, and by your actions show your disobedience. That's not what God says in the fifth commandment. God has given your parents authority. With that authority, they rule over you. And in their rule over you, they have the right to say, this is what you're going to do and not going to do, within the bounds of Scripture. And when they do that, whether you agree with it or not, God says, honor them in your heart. Honor them in your heart. And obey them for Christ's sake. They say, this is when you're going to get a phone, and you disagree with it. You still honor and you still obey. They say, this is the curfew, and you disagree with it. You still honor and you still obey. They say, this is how many nights you can be away, and you may disagree with it, but you honor and you obey. And you let them know by the way you speak and by the way you act that you're doing it for Christ's sake, willfully and joyfully. They say you're going to be home on a Friday night because it's important to be together at home as a family and spend time with each other. And you disagree with it, but you honor and you obey. And then you don't make the night miserable because you want to show your disagreement, but you say, no, I'm here. I'm thankful to be here. I listen willfully and joyfully, and I want to show my love for my parents and my love for my family. The examples are endless, and I'm sure each of you children and each of you young people can come up with something in your mind right now and do that. Something in your mind where you say, I don't agree with that. Or I don't think that's the best way to do it. and you're tempted to be angry about it, and you're tempted not to obey it. And the word of God to you is, your parents have this right, willfully, joyfully, and thankfully, honor them and obey them. Number four, children, remember the importance of being good examples to your siblings. And here, speaking especially to you older children who have younger siblings in your home, your younger children see you. Your younger brothers and sisters listen to the way you talk about mom and dad and to mom and dad and how you respond to what mom and dad say to you. They're watching, and your example is a powerful example to them. And so, the word of God to you this morning is, be good examples. Be good examples to your younger brothers and younger sisters as what it looks like to have a good attitude towards your mom and dad, to listen to them as your mom and dad, and to obey them as your mom and dad. Because they're watching and they're learning. Just as all of our children are watching and are learning as to how we as adults talk about and respond to those who are in positions of authority over us. And this may be the most powerful example to younger brothers or younger sisters when you sin against your mom and dad and they see it. Go to them and tell them, I sinned when I did that. I sinned when I talked back to mom. And you saw it. You saw it. I know you saw it. You were right there as my younger brother. And you need to know that that was not right. And I'm sorry for it. And that leads me to the fifth point. And the fifth point, children and youth, is that there is forgiveness for your sins. I am sure that when I have preached these words to you, that you are very aware that you don't do this perfectly. Of course not. Nobody does. And you as children are sinners. And you as young people are sinners. Our attitudes are not always right. The words that come out of our mouths are not always pure. And our actions at times are completely in rebellion against mom and dad. You are sinners. Just like me and just like everyone here. But now you need to know this, that those sins of dishonoring mom and dad are forgiven in the blood of Jesus Christ. And knowing how amazing that is, that God does not hold those sins against you. He does not punish you with hell because of those sins, but forgives them for Christ's sake. Knowing that, let that lead you to say, I want to honor mom and dad more and more in my life. Not just dad, but mom. And I want to be a good example to my younger brothers and sisters. And especially with those things that I don't like, I want to use those times especially to show my love for God and my honoring of Jesus Christ. Because that's what's important to me as a young person and as a child in light of what God has done for me. We've been focusing, beloved, on children and youth, of course. Everything we've said applies to the other positions of authority as well. The Catechism broadens that out when it says, in the second line, that I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother and all in authority over me. And what I want to do right now is simply read three passages that point to the three other places in which this applies especially. It applies to the relationship of elders in the church. And for that, I read Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. This applies to the relationship of employers with employees. We can stay right in Ephesians 6 to see that. Verses 5 and following. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. There's that relationship that we emphasized. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. These are all the things we've talked about. With good will, doing service as to the Lord, and not to men. And then the third example are those who are in positions of authority in the state and in the nation. And for this we read 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 and following. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Conclude the sermon with 2 points. First is that this is the first commandment with promise. Ephesians chapter 6. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Not the promise of living physically long on this earth, but in the Old Testament times, typical promise, well of thee in the land of Canaan, pointing to the spiritual realities that we have in Jesus Christ. And here we simply state it, because this is the content of the sermon tonight, in the way of obedience. That's the point. This is the promise that goes along with walking in obedience to the fifth commandment of God's law. And then secondly, let us understand this point from the Catechism and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Everyone who's in a position of authority knows I am weak, I am sinful. Children and youth, your parents know that. They know that they are sinners. They know that they are weak. They know that in ruling over you and guiding you and nurturing you as children and youth, there is sin. They know that, and you must know that. And so God says to you as children and youth, bear patiently with them. Every elder, every deacon, and every pastor knows in their labor in the church they do so as men, weak and sinful. And you as a congregation must know that. That does not give an excuse for unfaithfulness or disobedience. It's acknowledging the reality of the situation. We strive to be faithful. We strive to do our work well in the service of Jesus Christ. But even in striving to do that, it's filled with weakness and sin. And so the Catechism says, bear patiently with those weaknesses. And the same is true in the relationship of employees to employers and in our relationship to those who are elected in our country and state. This is wise instruction, beloved. It's wise instruction because everyone who's under the authority of others can so quickly and so easily say, look at their sins. Look at their failures. And the devil will take, look at your sins and look at those failures, and he will jump on that so quickly to say, now, why in the world would you honor them and why in the world would you obey them? Look at who they are and look at what they've done in their sin and their weakness. And so the Catechism wisely leads us to this conclusion: bear patiently with their weaknesses and infirmities as you strive to honor and to obey those who are in authority. And that will come when we know this first: my weaknesses and my sin. As each one of us knows individually and personally the depth of my sin, as I stand before God, how I am undeserving of anything from God, and how I am no better than any other person, when that is there, then we go forth in the service of God, bearing patiently with the weakness of others. May God give us, therefore, that humble spirit that arises out of the knowledge of our own sin and what Christ has done for us. So it leads us to obey God in this commandment and to bear patiently with those who are over us in authority. May God give us that grace and that strength to live our lives in faithfulness to the fifth commandment of His law. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we confess Thee to be the God of all authority in Jesus Christ. And may Thy Word speak to us this morning. And may it be a power to us to obey the fifth commandment to the glory of Thy name. We confess our sin and our weakness. Cover our sins and cover our weaknesses by the blood of Jesus Christ. In His name do we pray. Amen.